With us today, Michael Formica with the National Pork Producers Council. Michael, let's talk about one of those big elephants in the room right now that continues to get bigger. It seems like as we get closer to the end of the year, Prop 12. Where
Crazy
are
Californians.
We? Where are we?
I boy, let's go on a deep dive here.
Okay.
So as you point out, end of the year, Prop 12 is set to go into effect. Of course, how do you comply with a law that makes no sense? And the state has not introduced regulations yet. They are still in the process of drafting those regulations, and there is little to no chance of them finalizing the regulations before the end of the year. Creates lots of confusion, and I don't know that we're going to have any more clarity. We have NPBC has been working really hard, spent a lot of time in California trying to develop regulations that we can live with, or more acceptable. But we need them to finalize that process. We've also challenged Prop 12. So we have a case going to the Supreme Court. We're in the briefing stage now. It's always an uphill battle to get them to even take the case. So we'll find out second week of January. We're scheduled to be considered January 7th and 14th. Our case is different in many ways from some of the prior cases that were brought up challenging other ballot initiatives, and
right.
So we're cautiously optimistic. I don't know if we can get over the hump, but we are doing things and have done things that greatly enhance our chance of getting the court to hear the case, and it's. It's going to be hairy the next few weeks.
Right. So, what is an argument that would catch the attention of the Supreme Court?
Well, so one thing that we've had to be careful about. So one of the struggles that other cases have had, you've had attorney generals bring in these challenges, and the court has looked at this and they've rejected them largely because they are the attorney generals. They're not the harmed party. So, you're complaining about, increases in the price of eggs, for instance, in the school lunch program. There's no guarantee that the price of anything's going to be stable. The state is really being harmed. The state's not operating the farms. And so the court has come back and said, we want to see the parties who are actually harm. Packers had brought a challenge, but they're procedurally they were in a funny spot, and also Packers aren't really sympathetic plaintiffs, and again they're not the ones incurring the cost. The party who's going to get stuck with the cost of having to make multi-million-dollar renovation with no guarantee of a market are the farmers themselves, and so. We have a case addressing very particularly the lack of pork production in California and how the costs are going to be borne entirely by farmers outside of California. We're in a better position because of that. We have brought in a lot of outside parties to also weigh in to help support our case, and so we're plugging away and. There are other things we're doing which I'm not gonna elaborate on, but we think about this every day, and we've got lots of pieces moving. We've also been fairly successful in changing the tenor of the conversation about this. We're starting this summer, we have started to see, dare I say, positive press. Right? There was a a news story in San Francisco, like woman on the street, man on the street, asking consumers, are you aware of this thing coming and the impact it's going to have on your food budget? And nobody knew about it. Oh, wait, how did this thing pass?
Right.
Nobody actually knows about it. They're not happy about it. People have this vision of Californians, or they're a little out there, but they're not all Hollywood royalty or Silicon Valley billionaire. There's 40 million people. Most people in California are, you know, are middle class or, you know, or, you know, folks trying to raise families. And they're struggling. They're struggling more than anyone else is because the price of everything in California is insane. And now they're looking at massive increases in the cost of pork. Majority of the state is Latino or is Asian. They well over index on pork, and so you're gonna take pork carnitas off the menu of all these restaurants. That's a, you know, that's a line in the sand. You know, perhaps they can't cross. We'll see.
So what, you know, end of the day, it's a wait and see, I guess, at two levels, the state level and then the Supreme Court level.
That's right, at the state level, at the Supreme Court level, the failure of the state to come out with regulations, that's causing some problems there. There are still a couple of things that could fall out. We'll see, but we have we've got some powerful state groups. The restaurants in the state, chambers of commerce in the state, they're all very concerned about this. Not just because of the pork angle, which we're concerned about, but what kind of precedent does this set forth? You know, California land to crazy regulations, but what happens when they don't come out with regulations? How can you comply? Even if you had Prop 12 compliant pork, you can't, if you're a grocer, you can't really trust to sell that because you're the party who's legally liable. The state's supposed to create a certification program, right? We don't like the certification program. It's going to cause burden for our farmers. They're going to have to register with the state. But if you're that retailer, without those regulations, you're asking yourself, can I sell, you know, this package of bacon without the fear that the Humane Society is going to come sue me? And that's a problem. So
now one thing I've heard a little conversation about, is it a possibility that Prop 12 could make it a lot harder to use the California ports as an export jumping off place?
That's an interesting question, and certainly on the you know, logistics supply chain side, the port situation in California is a nightmare. The regulations that California has proposed make it exceedingly clear it only applies to pork that is sold in California for consumption in California. So whether that's at a grocery store, now if you buy a pork chop at a restaurant, the pork chop you buy the restaurant wouldn't be required to sell you a Prop 12 compliant pork chop, but the supplier that they purchase that from would be required to sell it to you. The port for export, it shouldn't apply to it. Without regulations, though, that's less clear. I don't think in a million years California would ever bring enforcement on that, because they've been very clear in all the drafts of the regulation that it's not going to apply to export. There are different jurisdictional issues. That really does become a federal issue. But it's an interesting question. And in the comments that have come in to California, we've had some foreign countries, Canada for one, have raised some trade questions about Prop 12. And so what does this mean? Are there going to be inspectors from California going into Oklahoma? Maybe into Iowa? Maybe. What about going into Canada or down into Mexico? Because they produce pork in both those countries as well.
A lot of questions.
A lot of questions, and so far not a lot of answers. But like I said, we're plugging away. We remain cautiously optimistic about our chance at the Supreme Court. We everything seems to be trending in the right way.
Right.
You know, lots of little skirmishes behind the scenes, and we're coming out ahead on all those. But we haven't gotten to that final decision where the court says, "All right, we're going to agree to hear your case." But they've done some things here in the weeds that have given us some hope.